Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot. And also, at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, back from Radio Row, Super Bowl, Las Vegas, Nevada. Denny Carter is back from a soundstage in Silver Spring, Maryland, where we did our best to CGI him into all of our clips. Denny, it was pretty seamless. You could barely tell you weren't there.
It was. The only hiccup was the picture you very stupidly posted at the end of our time in Vegas, where I was supposed to be CGI'd beneath your arm, but didn't work out. Thankfully, no one saw it.
I totally gave the game away there. And Kyle Dvorchak, of course, who we wish had been there with us, he's here with us now. He's going to help us break down the Super Bowl, look forward a little bit to 2024, which I guess we're doing over the next 7 months, debating the same stats. And it's going to be...
That's really not true. I'm going to find increasingly granular stats that we can argue about. Just trust me.
Point. Yeah. We do that every offseason. We come up with some new garbage. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know who scored the most points last year? They're probably going to do it again this year.
Yeah, we need to have one more final shout out. I'm actually sending our thoughts and prayers to Lawrence Jackson, who's in Las Vegas for a 10th consecutive day today.
And, why?
Because FSGA began after the Super Bowl, Kyle. And that's where DJ Short is. It's where Chris Wilson is, some of our behind-the-scenes coworkers. And if you want to know Lawrence's state of mind, he earlier today texted me the Leo crawling on Quaalude GIF.
No way.
Yes. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, he's hurting. He's hurting.
My poor Lawrence.
He's hurting real bad.
Someone, I'm begging anyone with, maybe a private airplane, get my guy out of here.
Get Lawrence, extract Lawrence from Las Vegas, Nevada. And you know who else is hurting real bad for the third time in 8 years is Kyle Shanahan, guys. We're going to tap into the zeitgeist a little bit and really debate a decision that was made 48 hours ago. We are going to tap into the zeitgeist, but what better way to begin the show? We're always debating some coach decision. It was Dan Campbell in the NFC Championship round. Today it's Kyle Shanahan in overtime, and overtime in the Super Bowl, who did not ever explain the rules to his players. Seemed like maybe a bit of an oversight. The league barely explained the quarters thing to us, I must admit.
Yeah.
But Kyle Shanahan, he wanted the ball. He wanted to win on the third possession. He wanted the third possession, which I will admit off the bat, I even tweeted as much. I'm like, yeah, I think this is right. Like the third, I go, you assume touchdown, and then you want the first sudden death possession. And then ESPN Seth Walder pointed out the extremely obvious fact to me. Well, the team with the second possession will go for two, almost certainly.
Yep, that's the thing. That's exactly.
And the Chiefs admitted as much. So yes, Kyle, take it away.
That's exactly what it is. It's like if you anticipated any sort of, or you expected the probability of a tie game after two possessions. So we get a field goal and they match us. We get a touchdown and they match us. Or we go punt. If you expect that to be like all relatively likely and equal, sure, a third possession, I guess, makes sense. But that's the thing that breaks it is if you score a touchdown. I mean, really, no matter what you do, you give your opponent so much of a knowledge advantage. We saw the Chiefs go for it on fourth down once in a situation where who knows if they would have or not if they were feeling conservative. They don't get a choice, and it forces your opponent, you know, gives them the knowledge to play optimally. And that includes the going for two, which I didn't think of at first at well. But that means that if your opponent scores seven, Like, or if you score seven, if you're the 49ers, Chiefs know exactly what they have to do to beat you. They won't be trying to tie you. If you get a field goal, they know how to tie you. If you don't score, they know how to beat you. It just gives them such an information advantage. Like, I get the logic behind it, but I think when you weigh all of the costs and benefits, it's, I mean, look, you asked the team who was prepared for this scenario what they wanted to do, and they got their wish. So that probably tells you all you need to know.
I was going to make a point here. Well, apparently the models say it's almost 50-50 between kicking and receiving. And a game I feel like where you would want the third possession is what this game was, a defensive slugfest, a defensive struggle. It just feels like signing your own death warrant, though, when it's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, yeah.
Like, it seemed like there was no way the Chiefs weren't going to be able to have the answer on the second drive, mm-hmm. Denny.
Especially with Mahomes. Like, I feel like you want to see what he does, and then you want to go and match. You want to know what you have to do as against a guy like that. And I know that, like, the simulations, was it Bill Barnwell who ran like hundreds of thousands of simulations?
He's either Barnwell or Walter. We know, and both of them probably did it too.
And Bill's been known to do that.
And yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's like pretty close to 50-50. So it's not like a glaring, disastrous mistake. Mm-hmm. And but I do think that the fact that, like, Kyle Juszczyk and Eric Armstead and a couple other Niners came out after the game and said, I didn't know about all that. Like, I didn't know. And then the Chiefs players, including Chris Jones, came out and told reporters, we talked about it extensively over the 2 weeks between the AFC title game and the Super Bowl. That's,
you said they talked about it going back to last summer.
That's it. Right. That's a preparation thing. And remember this rule stems from a Chiefs situation against the Bills and that classic showdown game against Buffalo, and it ends on a field goal, and it just felt so deflating and anticlimactic. And the league said this can never happen again in the postseason. We got to change this in the postseason, and they did, and no one seemed to notice.
And I feel like it's not a small oversight that the 49ers players didn't know. And you might be like, well, why does Kyle Juszczyk need to know the overtime rules? Like, it's all about mentality. You need everyone on the field to know, like, this is the season. I mean, of course, they're approaching an overtime Super Bowl possession as important, but you need to know, like, this is a definitive chance. This is our final drive of the year.
Also,
like, you need to be feral, basically.
I would say maybe it doesn't matter as much as we thought, because Mecole Hardman had no idea they won the game.
Our guy Mecole had no idea. And so, Kyle, Denny and I were talking about this on the phone earlier. I genuinely didn't know the quarters thing. And people on Twitter are like, what did you think was going to happen? You think it was going to be a tie? You idiot. I was like, I thought it was like normal overtime where I knew they were guaranteed a possession, but that I didn't think they were like guaranteed perpetual clock. And I was like, would have been really nice if anyone had explained this. And, you know, the clock is ticking down. And Tony Romo's like, oh, by the way, the clock doesn't mean anything at all. And then it took 2.5 minutes to explain that and totally ruined the ending of the game.
But yeah, I didn't know the clock didn't mean anything at all until after the game. I had no clue. I was like, the Chiefs got to score. I was panicking. I was like, Chiefs got to score.
Everyone's panicking. Maybe explain the rules once in a while. They focused so much on the possession thing. Yep. They're like, oh, yeah, by the way, clock doesn't matter at all.
No, I didn't know that until, like, literally the next day, I think. I don't even think I noticed.
You didn't even figure it out during the game.
No, I definitely didn't figure out during, like,
everyone, you thought they were going to tie? I thought you get paid for this.
Pat, you're taking this one really hard.
You thought they were going to freaking tie?
They were going to share the Super Bowl trophy, folks.
I know. And yeah, it would have been nice if they had focused on that a little more, that rule. But yeah, Shannon, how can you not? You got to tell the players the rules, maybe? Just maybe. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan. We'll get more to Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers, in a minute. We'll start with the Chiefs, their third Super Bowl victory in 5 years. Their second in a row. Denny, I published my Seasons in Review article where one of the things I focused on, like, it's kind of scary. People always say this after a team wins a Super Bowl. They find something scary about that team. But I do think it is scary that, like, a grinded out, like, that a team that was on easy mode for half a decade also has a version capable of, like, grinded out execution-based football. And, like, wow, that's probably not a good sign for the league that the Chiefs are, like, willing to, like, do this, like, take your medicine kind of football. And part of that was because Travis Kelce wasn't quite the same player this year. Under 1,000 yards for the first time since 2015. Under 2 yards per route run for the first time since 2015. He's going on 35. We've declared Travis Kelce like done before, and it's gone horribly, horribly wrong. But is it safe to say Kelce is – we know he's post-peak. Is he like in decline phase now, Travis Kelce?
Yeah, but I do think that that decline could be slow enough so that it's not all noticeable in 2024. You know, just for fantasy purposes, you know, I do think that he probably will be overdrafted again this coming year, because I think enough people will say, well, you know, he was unlucky, or, you know, he's still out there running 95% of the routes.
Yeah, he was
distracted.
He was distracted by a girl.
Becoming the first player in NFL history to have a significant other.
Right. And we don't talk about that enough. You know, the distraction of the first NFL player.
First with NFL player to date.
With a partner. You know, so I don't think it's going to hit all at once. But I mean, look, with tight ends, like if you zoom out on the tight end position in fantasy, you just want guys out there running routes, right? And if they happen to be good, that's nice. You know, but he's going to be out there running all the routes in an efficient offense, with an offense that must, we'll talk about this, but must add receivers, improve the worst receiving room in the NFL.
Kyle, is Travis Kelce the set and forget? He was still the tight end one overall somehow this year, even under 1,000 yards, even with these really, really long fallow periods. He's been the unquestioned tight end one, what, 3 or 4 years in a row now? Is he still the unquestioned tight end one, or are you going to be able to make viable cases for other players in 2024?
Nah, I think he's still the tight end one. Like, I mean, he was like you said, like Denny said, like his numbers took a hit. Like you said, below 2 yards per route run. He was only second in ESPN's open score, but like these are caveats to him not being the best tight end in a single season that we've ever seen. They're not caveats to him not being the best fantasy tight end in the year of our Lord 2024. He is still top 5 in yards per outrun, top 5 in ESPN's open score. I think he was number 1 in target share as well. And he plays with Patrick Mahomes. He ran bad on touchdowns. And like you said, he still finished, I think, points per game. He was the tight end one, but he missed 2 games. So yeah, I mean, the gap has maybe closed. We've also seen George Kittle's yards per route run fall off to another one where like, he's still a top five tight end, but he had like record setting seasons 3 to 4 years ago. I don't know if we have that version of Kittle. The same could be said of Mark Andrews, where I think 2, maybe 3 years ago now, he had like 1,300 yards. Don't know if that's the version of Mark Andrews we have right now. We have a lot of good. We probably have more good tight ends in the NFL for fantasy purposes than we have in 5 to 10 years. But the fact that no one stands out as like a 1,200, 1,300 yard player, that still keeps Kelce as the one for me, because he's still the most likely to be that guy, although I kind of bet against it.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, if we had George Kittle in another offense, it would be him, I think, by far over Kelce. But the nature of the Niners offense, the way he's used, I know his route rate is good, but you know what I'm saying. Lots of early down running.
What you're saying is we absolutely love to get a DK snowflake from Travis or from George Kittle in the Super Bowl. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we do love that. You know, actually, Kyle mentioned ESPN's open score. If you go to the overall tab on that open score, Kyle was right, obviously, that Kelce was second in getting open, that part of it. But the overall, Kelce dropped to 4th this year behind Kittle, Andrews, and Trey McBride. He was tied with Jake Ferguson in that metric. I think that indicates a little bit of a fall off.
I mean, the only competition really, we don't think Sam Laporte is ready to do this, do we, folks? I mean,
I would not draft Laporte.
Trey McBride might be like the dark horse.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a dark horse to upset Kelce, it has to be someone with a wider distribution, where it's like, I don't see a scenario in which Sam Laporta is his team's number one receiver, because Amon-Ra's just that good, and they have such a good ground game that they don't need to be airing it out all the time. And he was good in yards per route run as a rookie, and he could obviously improve, but he wasn't at the level of Kelce, Andrews, Kittle. I think it has to be someone who's got a little wider range of outcomes, like McBride, who actually was as good, I think maybe slightly better in the regular season than Kelce by yards per route run. So yeah, I think if you want sort of an upset candidate, I'd actually skip over Laporta, who's probably got a really good shot at being top 4, but maybe doesn't have as good a shot of being top 1 as someone like maybe even Dalton Kincaid and then Trey McBride.
Yeah, I think the point I was trying to make, if someone's going to dislodge Kelce, it's not going to be the usual suspects like Hockenson coming back from a knee. Evan Engram had the most obvious career year in the history of career years. Mark Andrews is post-peak. David Njoku, probably a career year. It's going to have to be someone crazy like Trey McBride, I feel like, to really shake it up. We'll see. It's weird. Tight end is a lot deeper, but it's been a long time since we didn't have like a behemoth at the top. You know, it was the Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski segued right in to Travis Kelce, George Kittle. Yeah, there's not at least an obvious 1,300-yard receiver at the top of the tight end.
Could be McBride. I mean, I am on board with that take.
I think they're pretty very likely to add Marvin Harrison still. Like, I don't think he's going to be the number one receiver of that team. It's possible. I still think it's up in the air, but I think he's the number two receiver on his team as soon as Marvin Harrison steps on the field.
Marquise Brown down horrific. No way he's being resigned.
Oh, he's gone.
Absolutely. Maybe he's going to the Chiefs though, Denny, where you were pointing out to me before the show, the Chiefs were the worst offense to win a Super Bowl since the 2015 Broncos. And you were also making the point this offense without Mahomes would just be like, I think your word was tragically bad.
Tragically bad.
And there's no way. Right? Where are we going with this?
There's no way that they can get worse. They can't get worse. Like, you know, and that, by the way, that measurement for, you know, worst offense since the Broncos.
Vibes was that measurement. And they were the worst.
was EPA per play. Yeah, I mean, you know, they dropped off a cliff compared to recent years.
Then they scored 80 fewer points than any other Mahomes team ever. And that includes, you know, like the 17-game seasons, the 16-game seasons. First time ever under 400.
Right.
80 fewer points than the previous worst Mahomes offense.
Can you imagine? I mean, this team is horrific. This offense is horrific. I will say the defense might make them like a playoff team, but the offense is horrific without Mahomes. If you add someone in the draft and free agency, you know, and you replace Justin Watson running 90% of the routes, you replace MVS running 85% of the routes. Like you can easily upgrade from those pass catchers and give Mahomes guys who can make plays on their own. Like nobody could do that. Increasingly, Kelce can't do that. Like I know that he had some yak yardage against the Niners in the Super Bowl, but you know that yak stuff was not as prevalent as it was in recent seasons for Kelce because age, I don't know, and a girlfriend. It's hard to say, you know. So if this offense can improve around Mahomes, I think it's frightening. I really do think it's frightening because
they could maybe win a Super Bowl, maybe win two.
I mean, really, like they should be, you know, assuming they will make these improvements, they should be the prohibitive favorites to win the Super Bowl next year.
Kyle, I'm going to ask you a question, but I got really fixated on the other day that the Chiefs have now won both Super Bowls since they traded Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill finished ahead of Mahomes in the MVP voting.
Don't
worry. I have thought about this as well.
I'm not sure about that one.
Yep.
Not entirely sure about the one. Kyle, what would this offense be like if the only big move was betting on Rashee Rice improvement in 2024? Say, like, they just run it back again with defense, the offensive line, and they just don't invest in skill players. Kind of like what the Packers did for years. They just don't invest in skill players, and they just hope Rashee Rice gets better. Would the offense be better or the same?
I mean, hoping Rashee Rice gets better would probably – I think that would work out because – he was limited as a rookie, but he was really good at things he did. He doesn't need to do a lot to really expand his route tree because he was just so shallow A-dot all after the catch. Just a little bit of improvement there, I think, would change the complexion of the offense a bit. But, like, I think it's actually very realistic. I don't know if it's the smartest thing to do, but realistic that they do that, essentially. They add, you know, some, like, money ball free agent. Like, you know, Allen Robinson, they give $3 million to, and everyone's like, what are you doing? And he has 700 yards at the end of the year. Think of the next Juju for this team. I mean, MVS was that guy. It's like, why didn't he ever do more with as the clear, potentially clear number two with Rodgers? It's like, oh, he's not that good, as it turns out. And they gave him 3 years, 30 something million. They moneyball some free agent. They take a fifth or sixth round pick, and that's it. And you know why they might do that? Because they won back to back Super Bowls exactly that.
Receiver does not matter, Denny.
I do not. You know, my football ideology does not appreciate trading away the most special wide receiver of his generation and then easily winning two Super Bowls. So
yeah. I do think one thing is that their offense is so much better in the playoffs than it is in the regular season.
They're the Golden State Warriors. It doesn't matter,
I do think they're
55-27 get us in the playoffs.
I think they are legitimately the closest. They're still not very close to that like basketball ideology of like we will literally just rest starters every three games because we know we're going to make it.
Mahomes but I do think rests week.
Dude, I like 100% think that would be a smart idea. Like give you know Blaine Gabbert or whatever a start, Chad Henne a start against like the Panthers. He probably wins it anyways, and you give Mahomes the day off.
We're trying to win hearts and minds here with the analytics. You're saying Mahomes should rest. The people are going to riot.
They would riot.
But they were a three times better passing offense by EPA per play in the playoffs than they were the regular season. Kelsey's yards per route run went up from 1.9 to like 2.4. You know, it's like a 33% increase, which like shouldn't like that. It would either be extremely random or more than likely guys understand the long game and are doing things differently when it matters most. As we talked about in the game itself, they played differently when it mattered most in overtime. Other teams, like the one they played, did not know how to play differently. They know what it takes to win a Super Bowl and not just games in the regular season. And I think that shows up in their stats. So I think they can talk themselves into it. They've successfully done it twice in a row. Talk themselves into this like money ball receiver, load up on defense stuff. And it will probably work because we've seen it work.
Nothing against Rasheed Rice. Rasheed knows I like him. I don't think I don't think he's a wide receiver one in an offense.
He literally was on a Super Bowl.
Well, but by default, I mean, how are you not? So you asked Pat, what if he gets better? I don't think he can. I actually don't think he's number one. Led the entire league in yards after the catch per reception. He was ninth in yards per route run. Like. He's going to improve on that? That's it. That's the pinnacle, I think. And if you put someone else in there that would be targeted over him as a receiver, I think that those numbers go down.
He was seventh in total receiving from week 12 forward. He was 19th. So week 6 was when they really started to feature him. He was 19th from that point forward. Week 12 is when they started to like basically emphasize him as a true number one receiver. He was 7th in overall receiving. I think like Kyle said, it's not really – we know he's proven as a yak man now, but it wouldn't take much to expand his route tree.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Small school guy, like you said, Denny. Like, if he had the same role this coming year, I bet anything his yards after the catch per catch comes down. He had the second most yards after the catch in the past like 20 years per reception.
It was crazy.
Like historic levels of yak. And I think like from an efficiency perspective, it almost necessitates that his like overall efficiency comes down. But it will be significantly better for the offense if this guy can just move the chains on a catch as opposed to 9 yards of yak on a 2A dot, you know, slant or whatever. I think whether or not it changes his fantasy outlook, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, because we're losing some of the yak. We undoubtedly are. It will make the offense so much better if they have a second, not even downfield threat. He doesn't have to become a burner, but a second, like, deep out 14 yards downfield kind of guy who can get open on that kind of route. Can he become that guy? I don't know. He was a lot of like low ADOT yak guy in college until his final year. Then he just became that low ADOT yak guy again. But like, you got to think that is one of the primary drivers of how this team moves forward outside of outside additions. They should be trying to do everything they can to get his route tree expanded.
So to Denny's point, he will already be his age 24 season in 2024, but not as projectable as some young wide receivers would be. To Kyle's point about... So the Chiefs, we know, have already been moneyballing the receivers. It does seem like there's no way like their moneyball choices could be worse in 2024. And some of the free agents are available. Mike Evans will probably be franchise tagged back with the Bucs. We know T. Higgins won't be available. Curtis Samuel, Tyler Boyd, Mecole Hardman, Calvin Ridley, Marquise Brown. Just seems like Michael Pittman will be franchise tagged. Kendrick Bourne coming back with torn ACL. It feels like they could like, throw darts at a dartboard and get better receivers than Justin Watson.
100%. I think they ran really bad getting
getting
nothing, absolutely nothing out of MVS, who like assuming they weren't the only ones to make an offer in the ballpark, like the NFL valued him as like a 3-year contract, I think $30 million, something like let's say the next closest team was 2 for 20, that still, in theory, should be a usable receiver, and he wasn't. It cost them meaningful draft capital to get Kadarius Toney, and he did not even play. He hardly played for them at all, let alone in the most important game this year. I think Justin Watson stays. He's a good culture guy, and they like what he does. But then they let Mecole Hardman walk as an extreme money ball tactic. Then they go and get him back as an extreme money ball tactic, and still, I get he gets the touchdown at the end. Also almost cost them, like, the game before this. So, like, none of these moves have panned out in the slightest. If just one of them pans out, I know, Pat, we talked about this, like, a bunch. Imagine if they were the team that got Adam Thielen. Like, Adam Thielen, I don't think, is making that much more than MVS did, especially at the point MVS signed. Imagine if they were the team that signed Adam Thielen. He would be the best receiver. I think Rashee Rice is better, but for the number two options, he would be so much better. So much better.
So much better. I had a point.
Thielen would have been a top five fantasy receiver.
We've already established the Chiefs will never spend money on receiver again, but they're trading for Justin Jefferson. But imagine if they did. They would lose the next Super Bowl 38-31. And everybody would be like, they got away from the defensive identity.
Right.
Over. And they only made it to the Super Bowl and lost. They're washed. The dynasty is over. This segment is over. We will be right back after this. The countdown to spring training is on, so for those looking to get a head start on the upcoming MLB season, grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit nbcsports.com/draftguide and use promo code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Matthew Pouliot. I need to dig up Matthew Pouliot's projections. They're always so. I'm getting ready to do an NFBC. So sue me, by the way. It'll be fine. It'll be fine on NFBC. I like NFBC. They had a few problems. Everyone admits this. They had some problems, but it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. How we last talk about it? I don't know.
Let's not talk about it. No, but they seem like they've got it under control.
Sure.
Anyway, we'll supposedly be doing an isolated incident. Just close your eyes and start drafting. You know what, Pat? You're doing it for fun, all right? This isn't a financial investment.
By the way, this is too early to draft.
I mean, spring training starting.
I mean, you should buy our Roto World Baseball guide and start grinding, obviously. But, you know, you wait.
Baseball season starts in 6 weeks, man.
I was going to say, baseball's got to be close, right? Because, Denny, I have bad news for you. If you think it's too early to draft baseball, they are already drafting fantasy football teams.
I know, Kyle. And my response to that is I'm so tired.
I know. My response to that is definitely no offense to a lot of our good friends who are already drafting. I would perhaps, even in February, go outside once.
Just once?
Never. Just one time.
They wouldn't be our friends if they were regular outside.
That's true. That's true. We wouldn't be friends with them in the first place if they were normal, well-adjusted people. You know who's normal and well-adjusted is Brandon Ayuk's family. They're demanding a trade. In the 49ers after one game where he got three targets. And it brings me to our first question on the 49ers as we get into the 49ers fallout. Is 2024 the last dance for this iteration of the 49ers, because you got Ayuk's contract coming up. You'll have to pay Brock Purdy after next season. God only knows what's going on with like Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle's contracts. Pretty much everyone is back next year. But this is a team that's really been cooking the salary cap books. They have like, I feel like they have like 10 of the highest paid players in the NFL, and somehow one of them is not a quarterback. It's one of the most unique builds we've ever seen. It's fine for 2024, but this can't keep going. Is it 2024 like the most all-in, have-to-win year ever for the 49ers?
I think it is, but here's the thing about the Shanahan system is that you can always have a low-paid quarterback.
They're paying Brock Purdy. They're talking about,
I just want to put this out there, okay? And I hope I don't get censored for this, but Mac Jones is a free agent.
Well, he's not yet. He's not yet, by the way. He has 1 year left on his rookie.
Oh, does he? Oh, man.
They're talking about trading him.
They're talking about trading him. I could honestly just see them.
So I don't know. I mean, I do think if any offense can keep scamming their way through things with a cheap quarterback and a bunch of highly paid other non-quarterbacks, I think it's 49ers. I don't know what else they can do differently, though. Like, how can this team improve? They can't.
Denny, I really think it comes down to what I wrote in my article. And I've made this point many times in the past. As good as the scheme is good enough to win a Super Bowl. We know that. But it needs everything to go. It needs literally everything. When it's about scheme and not the talent, you have to – it's the classic, we have to get lucky every time. When you have Patrick Mahomes, you only have to get lucky once. And, like, they have to keep getting lucky every time. And they're getting so close, they can't seal the deal. I think Kyle Shanahan intellectually understands this. It's why he made the super aggressive, reckless trade for Trey Lance.
Yeah.
He wanted someone who could clearly elevate the scheme rather than be elevated by the scheme. He gave up on it astoundingly quickly. Like, didn't even try to make it work.
Yeah, I think it was clear. I think it was clear it's not working.
It must have been clear, but yeah. I think it was clear that Shanny understood, as good as the scheme is, he needs someone to actually elevate the system and not be elevated. And it is possible to win with this approach, but it's just like you need everything to go right over and over and over and over again. It almost didn't work in both of the first two rounds of the playoffs. And it just feels like they've really bumped up against the limit of this approach. And the limit, I think it could have produced a Super Bowl, but it's come agonizingly close three times and is not.
I do think that the system where you have a quarterback who cannot elevate the offense by himself, can't like will the team to victory, and it's based, you know, it's a run-based attack, it's a balanced offense. I do think that naturally has a limit, like you said, Pat. And I think that it can be seen in stats like this one where, you know, in the regular season, the Niners were by far and away had the highest EPA per rush. Okay. It wasn't even close, both across the board and on first downs and second and third, whatever. Against the Chiefs, they had an EPA per rush that would have ranked dead last in the league by a long shot. So if you shut that down and you don't have anyone to elevate the rest of the offense, then where do you go? We talked about it, Pat, in Vegas, where we said, well, maybe they're just going to let the Niners do their thing on the ground and try to win in other ways. They didn't. They absolutely sold out to stop the run and said, okay, Purdy, you're going to have to beat us. And Purdy did not have it, could not do it.
Kyle, Denny referenced the debate I had with Drew Densick, where he was like, the Chiefs run defense is just trash. They're going to run all over them. And I was like, well, maybe they don't care. And like, they'll take you doing these grinded out run based drives, because then when you're in an obvious passing situation, Brock Purdy won't be able to deliver the goods. Drew and I were both wrong.
Yes.
The Chiefs very much, the 49ers very much did try to run it down their throats. The Chiefs very much tried to stop it and did not give up the run. And that was one of the most bizarre things about the game, I felt like.
I think it makes sense from the lens. I mean, like, it's kind of a nerdy thing that we talk about. We're like, really? How good is Brock Purdy? He's just pushing buttons. And then Steve Spagnuolo is like, really? How good is Brock Purdy? He's just pushing buttons. And like, Purdy played an overall good game. Like, it wasn't like he got exposed as a bad quarter. I think he's fine.
Nope. Plumber. Farmer.
Literally, he's a farmer though, right? Like, didn't he go back home to Iowa or something and farm?
No, I don't know if he's from Iowa. He played in, at Iowa State, of course.
I don't know. He went back. I'm pretty sure there's a video of him riding a tractor on like the bye week or the Thanksgiving long stretch or something.
There you go. There's my point.
But so, I mean, like, he played fine. Like, there were a ton of scenarios in which one of the punters
played fine. He didn't make. So I feel like it's the classic. The whole there was this palpable like, don't make the big mistake. No matter what, we can't let Brock make the mistake. And he didn't make the big mistake, and he didn't make any plays either.
And that's fine. Like, that's. Works. Don't make any mistakes is good. I don't like, obviously, he, like we said, he's not elevating. And like, that's what the opposing defense challenged him to do. Like, we're going to blitz you. We're going to stop the run. Like, we're going to give you tight window throws, hard reads, and see if you can make them. He took the ones that were easier and didn't make some of the harder plays, didn't handle the pressure, like literally pressure in the game as well as he could have. I guess like the alternative though is what would be the team's, like Denny said, what is the team's out? And honestly, to me, I don't think they need an out. I think the fact that Shanahan gets them to two Super Bowls with two different quarterbacks, this quarterback seems a little better. Like, do you want to gamble it all away on another Trey Lance situation?
No. You guys know what it is. There's a man by the name of Kirk.
Captain. Yeah, if you want to lose in the wild card round, that sounds like a great plan. I'm sure that would go well.
So,
yeah,
Denny, but what were you gonna say?
Yeah, but then obviously paying Kirk Cousins out blows up the whole
they can't afford to pay Kirk team. And have the how do they have a top 10 guy at every position?
It sounds like someone not in a position to sign Kirk Cousins who's been dreaming about signing Kirk Cousins for 10 years.
I know, and I do get that, but I just want to mention this about the I don't want to say easiness, but the way the Chiefs stopped the Niners was similar.
It was easy. Very easy. Okay.
All right.
The 49ers had like 7-3 and outs.
It was pretty easy. Was similar to how we saw the Patriots stop the Rams in that horrific Super Bowl 6-7 years ago, where the Rams came in with a hyper-efficient Todd Gurley-led rushing attack, and the Patriots said, we're not letting you do that. We're, you're going to have Jared Goff throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns to win this game. And Jared Goff completely collapsed. Steve Ruiz from The Ringer wrote about this, drew my attention to it. He said that the Chiefs put six defenders on the line of scrimmage with just one linebacker playing off the line, like the Patriots did against the Rams in that Super Bowl. Kansas City hadn't used that defensive front previously this season. Guys, they completely changed their defense to snuff out this Niners rush game. And they deserve credit for that. When we were talking at the Super Bowl with Drew Densing and others about, the Chiefs' defense, rush defense is bad. They were not good. But they
first off, that was always overstated. They were middle of the pack. They were middle of the pack.
Over the past month, they've been like 30th over the last month of the season. Anyway,
the Ravens abandoned the run after like two rushes.
Right, and they
this defense.
They completely changed who they are as a defense to stop the run against the Ravens and the Niners. And guess what? It worked because they have good corners and they have good safeties and it works like that. So, man, I mean, it just Steve Spagnuolo deserves all the credit.
He does. Say they do run it back with this exact supporting cast, the 49ers. Is there any chance they can match this year's efficiency? It feels like the answer is no, but if it's the same gang, they had like pretty good injury luck this year too.
That was one thing that definitely helped. They had like a few games missed from Debo and a few games missed from Trent Williams. Like, all things considered, that's really good luck to have star players miss a few games. But they are, I mean, they're 100% going to run it back. They don't have obvious cut candidates. Brandon Ayuk is under contract for one more year. I believe he's on the 5th-year option. Brock Purdy's under contract for two more years. I think one way this team could push its edge is, unfortunately, push Brock Purdy around contract-wise. Like, if you think you're that good, and if other teams think you're that good, head to the open market and let's see what they have to say about it. And I mean, that's ultimately what happened with Jimmy. Jimmy got paid. He also got exposed. So like, I do think that'd be one way to push their edge a little bit is Brock Purdy deserves a raise without a doubt, but don't pay him commensurate with his EPA numbers, which say he's the best quarterback, which is intuitive, but they really should try and push that. I do think they can probably come close. Like, they were really efficient this year. I think they can probably come close, though, given that we've seen Shanahan elevate his teams time and time and time and time again. And it's one thing where I think Brock Purdy works better out of structure than Jimmy Garoppolo, but I don't think he's obviously not night and day different. If it was just the scheme that was only doing this, I think eventually it would get stopped. Whereas it's the scheme plus an incredible talent plus a quarterback who is at least doing more than the quarterbacks in his shoes have done in the past. I think that's a really hard to stop. And what, 18 teams failed to this year or something like that, like 16 for the 49ers. Most teams can't stop it. So maybe they regress slightly because, yes, they were like historically efficient. But can they get back to this spot? Like, they're going to be the betting favorite to do so, and I think that's right.
I feel like Vegas, the bookmakers, are really like, they're like, well, no, we'll be right this time, when they immediately installed them as the 2024 Super Bowl favorites. Like, yeah,
that's a little much, yeah.
They did literally just lose the Chiefs.
On the computer, the Niners are undefeated.
They are.
And that's why I had such trouble believing that they could lose this game, because
maybe you had a lot of trouble believing it.
I did. Apparently, numbers don't matter when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes.
You had a lot of trouble believing it, Denny. We won't get into how much trouble.
My wallet paid the price.
It did. Yes. My app, my BetMGM app, flush with funds.
Yeah, that must be nice.
Can we get the Missouri House and Senate to approve gambling here?
I would like the Maryland House and Senate to never mind.
So yeah. I know I can literally see into Illinois from my neighborhood, but I will not be driving there to place the bets. It actually takes quite a while to get there. not near Mississippi River Bridge here. But we would like to spend some of those funds we won betting on the Chiefs.
Yeah, my government did the right thing. We don't have any problems here anymore because gambling goes live March 11th or something like that. It's something early in March.
But I don't know. The Chiefs, the 49ers, I looked at the NFC. Like, there's no bad moon rising in the NFC. I mean, there's the Eagles regrouping, recalibrating. You know, off the top of your head, you know who the bad moon rising in the NFC is? It's the Packers.
Yeah.
Sure. The Packers, boy, they put, like, the scare of a lifetime because into the 49ers, too.
Jordan Love, per the Zoomers, is him.
He's him.
He was.
I mean, we're crowning him after 8 games, but, like, I don't know. I watched those games. He was pretty him in those games.
I mean, the 49ers, 18-1, if they had Jordan Love easily beating the Chiefs.
What?
Yeah, I don't want to slander Brock, but, like, man, the way Jordan Love played over the second half of the season, he would.
Sorry, I meant the 49ers had Jordan Love.
Oh, yeah. No, undefeated, and they beat the Chiefs 24-0.
It would have been quite something else. It will be quite something else when we return from this break. Thursday night is another chance to watch a new chapter in college basketball history when Caitlin Clark chases down the all-time NCAA scoring record as Iowa hosts Michigan. Coverage of the Big Ten matchup begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on Peacock.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You must watch Caitlin Clark if you've not already done so.
My dad,
they had a logo called Clark Watch. That's insane.
They did.
My dad called me the other day and said, "Hey, why are you watching this Clark? She's lighting it up." I mean, man, when my dad's watching, everybody's watching.
Yeah. Pete Maravich reincarnated in the form of Caitlin Clark. The Zoomers We'll never know. Go look him up. He was a real person. He was amazing. Did we finish our 49ers talk, by the way? I don't know if we really – the 49ers, you got 17 games out of Christian McCaffrey. Like, Kittle barely got hurt. Debo barely got hurt by his standards. I just – they were running real hot on the injury front in 2023.
Yeah.
I mean, any team that gets to the Super Bowl is going to have run really hot on injuries. Like, the Chiefs, it was Joe Thuney at the very end. It's like kind of the primary injury. Lions got there with very few injuries. Like, you know, you look at the teams that do well and they tend to also be healthy. But if you just project all teams with neutral health, the 49ers are the best team in the regular season. And they're the best team, the best team in the NFC in the postseason. And then they have to face Patrick Mahomes. And that guy's just different. I think the thing is run it back. I'd be curious to see if they'd ever consider adding more receiver talent. At this point, though, what do they improve other than quarterback, which isn't that bad, but I'm saying, like, if there's one spot, you could see how they could take it to the next level. What do you improve for this team? Because, like Danny said, they're just so good on all fronts. I honestly don't have a good answer.
I really don't know. I heard someone in media say that the Niners are too script-dependent, and if they fail on first down, then they might as well punt because they just can't recover from that. And anecdotally and like on a gut level, I get that. I understand what that means. And I've watched the 49ers enough, the Shanahan Niners enough to know, okay, that means that, yeah, I mean, they're like a machine. And if one thing goes wrong, it's all over. But here's the thing, guys, they had the best third down EPA this year by like a huge margin. So
Purdy was also really good in high pass expected situations.
Right.
When teams knew he was going to pass.
Okay.
Good offenses don't even get third downs.
Right. So here's the thing. They are unbelievably good on first down. They are unstoppable on third down. They score every time they enter the red zone, basically. They're so efficient on rush in the rush game that it eclipses almost everybody's passing game. There's nowhere to go but down.
Yeah, I was to say, everything you just said screams unsustainable efficiency. And, man, they needed it this year. I feel bad for them. They had to have it this year.
It is tough. I mean, I think that's true of, like, it's probably true of a lot of teams that we don't view their quarterback setup as dynastic. When they get there, they got to crack it. Like the Lions, a game before, 2 weeks ago, when you get there, not to say Jared Goff isn't good, but, like, other side of the conference, or the other conference, has Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, two-time MVP Lamar Jackson. When you get there, especially Joe Burrow. The NFC, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, the most forgettable elite quarterback ever. In that, like, he's the fifth best quarterback, and like, he maybe would be the first in the NFC. Like,
he would be in the mix.
Yeah. So when you are one of these teams that is good but probably not great perennially, it does really hurt to not get across the finish line.
I just had an absolutely crazy idea. Is that Denny is trying to get the smoke going that the Chargers might trade Justin Herbert. Not really. Jim Harbaugh still spoke glowingly of the 49ers. We love Jed York. Trent Baalke is who he had his issues with there, apparently. They're going to trade Justin Herbert to the 49ers, folks.
I'm sure they couldn't afford it. That's the problem with all of these things. It's like the 49ers sort of chicken or egg situation have built themselves to be, we surround the quarterback team. Now at this point, unless it's a draft pick, it's really hard to undo that just financially.
So yes, they're going to draft Jaden Daniels and trade Herbert. That's what's going
to
happen.
That'd be so funny. They have to trade up a bunch too.
They're not going to – Jaden Daniels, he's going to see one of those cut-up videos of Jaden Daniels getting hit by, like, buses.
I know. But, I mean, he hired Greg Roman. He's like, we're doing it again, Greg. We're running it all the way back.
They are going to be running something back. What's he cooking? What's the meme, Kyle? What's he cooking?
What's he cooking? Yeah.
It's one of those fake thumbnail memes.
Yeah, well, it's not fake. I assume it's a real thumbnail. It's real. Thanos when he's like sitting over the pot at the start of the second Infinity War.
Yeah, it's you know what Harbaugh's cooking. He's cooking an offense that's going to be -12% dropback rate over expected.
And they'll easily go 12-5 and be the fifth seed in the AFC because they can't win the division.
They're going to be good. So what? Am I triggered? No. Yeah,
you are very, 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 very triggered. I had so many stray thoughts to get to. I had one more Super Bowl thought I needed to get to with Denny. We'll move on, though, to a Super Bowl interview Denny and I conducted out in Las Vegas, Nevada, with Mr. Tony Pollard. Kyle, one thing we didn't ask him, because there's no way he knows is where he's going to go. He did seem to make it very clear to Denny and I. Denny, what did he say that made it so clear that he will not be back with the Dallas
Cowboys? Well, I was talking to him before the game. I mean, sorry, before the interview. And, I'm making small talk with NFL players. It's easy. And it's not nerve-wracking at all. And I said, Tony, do you have any teammates here? And he kind of looked at me and he goes, you mean Cowboys?
He was checked, mentally moved on.
And I said,
that's really good. That's a good answer.
And I said, I do mean Cowboys.
And then he, I think he changed the subject.
Well, no, he said, because Antonio Gibson's here. I was like, okay, cool. And he's like, you know,
my marketing guy's here. I have a PR guy. That's kind of my team personally.
He said, well, we played together in Memphis. I was like, right. Okay. I do remember that. I always knew that. So don't tell the paper I didn't know that.
I did know that. And yeah, he did not mention any Dallas Cowboys though.
Pat, who else played on that team? Another running back.
Oh, there's three running backs. It was Gibby. It was Pollard, and I know the third. Was it another scat back type?
Kenneth. Kenneth Gainwell played on that team.
That's right.
I think like Patrick Taylor also played on that team, like the practice squad running back for the Packers.
He's been on my dynasty team several times. When I thought he was going to get a few carries that week, and he never did.
Those are the best dynasty pickups. Those really are.
Where's a good place for Tony Pollard? And one thing I said to Denny is, I mean, it certainly seems like the three down Tony Pollard experiment's over. He's going to go back much more to an Austin Eckler type role, even though he kind of just stayed in the Austin Eckler type role last year. Do you have any place you want Tony Pollard to end up? Any strong Tony Pollard thoughts people are saying?
Well, before I heard this anecdote, I was like, it'd be good for him to go back to Dallas and try and run it back, because in the first half of the year, he was just beyond dreadful. And he was coming back from a really bad injury. And so if you see an improvement in the second half, I'm maybe sort of willing to buy that he's not hitting the running back cliff, which we just see so many running backs way younger than you think lose their efficiency. And then the NFL loses the value in them. And he does in the second half of the season, from week 10 through their last playoff game. He was 20th in PFF's elusiveness rating, 19th in yards after contact per attempt, and first in PFF rushing grade. He was good. He wasn't the Tony Pollard we know and love, but that's an improvement. It's a meaningful improvement. So I wanted to, before I heard this anecdote, I wanted to put him back in that scenario in which like his usage was really strong in Dallas. Good stuff at the goal line. They're a team that can put up points, like getting him ample opportunities at the goal line. No hesitation throwing to their running backs. Now it doesn't sound like that. I would say another team that kind of fits that bill was the team we're just talking about, the Chargers.
Yes.
I don't know if they want to run back the experiment of like formerly dynamic running back who just has nothing left in the tank.
He's a lot younger than the man you are younger. Austin Eckler in Radio Row, by the way, was that man knows he's not going back to the Chargers. Let's just say that. Nothing he said to us. We did not speak to him.
No, I saw some of his interviews.
He can barely hide the fact that he was no longer a Los Angeles Charger.
Yeah, get ready to speak Texans, buddy.
Denny, by the way, remember,
probably wouldn't be a bad one because the offense is very good.
Oh yeah,
and as much as like I give them a little bit of credit for improving their philosophy in the second half of the season, they weren't like throwing like crazy. They just got above zero pass rate over expected. They're like frustratingly balanced, but a good offense, which is great for running backs like Lions set up essentially.
I do think it would be a good spot for Eckler.
With Pollard, by the way, if you were listening to the show last week, you already heard this, Denny, but I thought it was pretty amazing where he basically called Kellen Moore overrated, where he's like, so under Kellen, he said, you know, we did the run to set up the pass. It's like under Mike McCarthy, this guy you all hated, this dinosaur, we did the pass to set up the run.
Yeah.
Neither did they ever.
I mean, CeeDee Lamb was very frustrated when we talked to him in LA 2 years ago, and that was the Kellen Moore offense.
Man, yeah, what the hell? It was right there the entire time.
It was right there.
Kellen was the villain the entire time.
Yeah.
And we were dead wrong. Kyle, we asked Breece Hall if he knew how big of a deal he was in fantasy.
I saw
he
this said, one, yeah.
He said yes. He said he did know. He was in the mix for the number one overall pick. Assuming the number one overall pick, though, still Christian McCaffrey. Is Breece a legit candidate to go number two overall? Or does it have to be Justin Jefferson? Does it have to be a receiver? Is Breece a legit candidate for number two?
Yeah, he's a candidate. He's not going to be my number two overall. He will be my RB2. And I actually think the gap between two and three at running back is meaningful. I wouldn't really consider anyone else as the RB2. But Tyreek Hill coming off a season where if he stays healthy, he probably goes over 2,000 yards for the first time in NFL history.
CeeDee Lamb, injury history lengthening for Tyreek Hill.
Eh, He was so good. Like, if he was coming off of a 1,400-yard season or whatever, like a 1,400-yard pace, and he had just eked out the wide receiver one finish by points per game, I'd be like, okay, yep, older, maybe the offense gets figured out, maybe his usage is different. He was on pace for the best. He was on pace for the best season ever. So I'm going to buy that. I'm still buying Justin Jefferson, despite the maybe Kirk is there, maybe is not there, and just coming off a season-ending injury. Jefferson's just that good. But then, yeah, I said CD. CD, 135 catches, led the NFL, 1,700 yards. I did not know. CD, the season's great, but I forgot he had that stretch in the middle of the year. It was like 150, 150, 200-something, 1,700 yards, over 100 per game. That's where I think the Breece Hall conversation for me starts, which I think is fifth overall, if I'm counting up my hand correctly.
I'll probably bet on a Breece career year than another CD career year.
Sure.
Just my Denny, what do you think? You have any strong thoughts there?
Yeah, I'm CMC is going to be the consensus number one, right? That's right.
Yeah. I just don't think I can bet 100%. On a third straight.
So right. So how far are you going to push it? That's what the question is. So we weren't willing to push it this year. Okay. Mostly very few people were taking McCaffrey number one overall. Are you willing to do it this year? I do think, age, I think Breece Hall's CMC like usage in the passing game, it just makes him unbelievably, gives him a crazy, crazy ceiling.
Will it sustain with Rodgers, though?
Yeah. See, I think it definitely won't sustain because they had like check down. I won't say like words that made me feel when I watched that offense, but they had a bunch of guys who just primarily checked down the football playing for 17 weeks. Not really a special or creative offense. And I think the more you have a better offense, the less you want to throw -1 ADOT targets. But for the listeners who haven't seen the video of you interviewing Breece, we love the catches, Breece. We really do love the catches. It was very good because we needed those. Given how bad the offense was, for him to sustain his fantasy value, he had to prove to be a very good pass catcher. And he very much did that.
I thanked him for his service to his PPR country.
Uh-huh.
Very, very much. And he likes the catches. Kyle, as you saw, we talked to Puka Nacua. He was very politically correct and insisted Cooper Kupp was still the number one receiver on the Rams. Do we draft Puka Nacua ahead of Cooper Kupp in 2024?
Not enough diva vibes from that.
I know. He's way too well-adjusted, Puka Nacua. He really, really loves life.
Ugh, you should be that's a problem in a receiver. You're going to go for 1,700 yards. You should just hate everyone around you. I'll make an exception for Puka, though, because I will be drafting him, frankly, far ahead of Cooper Kupp in it was about, I think, 12 games, about a dozen games. Yeah, it's actually a dozen on the dot. Games that both he and Kupp played, and they both saw over half of the snaps because we had a few early exits from both of them. Puka had, on average, 88 yards, 5.5 catches at 2.7 yards per route run. Cooper Kupp, not bad at all, but 5.3 catches, 63 yards, and far lower, 1.8 yards per route run. When they're both on the field, Cooper Kupp is very good, but Puka is on another level. It was almost like Kupp didn't come back, and Kupp added something to the offense without subtracting from Puka, which is great for the offense. But to me, also, Puka being much younger, I'm going to go with Puka somewhat easily.
Yeah, Puka struck me as a guy who, for whom the enemy has not spoken kindly to, and does not hold the knife yet. I figured, in 3 years when we talk to him at the Super Bowl, he's going to be surrounded by bodyguards and wearing shades and speaking cryptically. So we'll see.
It was fighting for targets in the NFL, it jokerifies all of us.
I know.
It's such a cutthroat business trying to get those targets. But yeah, Puka was maybe the happiest athlete I've ever met. A really, really great young man who's loving life with his Apple Vision Pro, by the way.
Yeah, he loved that thing.
He was in love with that.
A zoomer to a T.
I know. Zoomer. Did you have something you wanted to say about Derrick Henry, by the way?
Well, I was actually talking with Lawrence Jackson about Derrick Henry over dinner. And look, I usually don't like to talk shop over dinner,
weren't a fan when Drew Dinsick and I spent 8 minutes arguing about the Super Bowl.
if you'll notice, I completely tapped out of that conversation.
Then he was like screaming in the bathroom, like, someone talk about David Bowie, please.
I did like the conversation. We actually brought it onto the air, which was fun, but. I started talking, with Lawrence because I was intrigued by this idea that he threw out. I wanted to run it by Kyle. Derrick Henry to Dallas. Make it happen.
The Ravens.
No.
That was pretty fun. Both of those are pretty fun. I mean, like, I think probably the Ravens makes more sense with their identity as a team. The thing is, Dallas, like, they just gave up on the run in the second half of the year, and it was pretty sweet. And I actually just don't want them to change that. Like, give us another 1,700 yards from CD. Because, like, I kind of agree, Pat. 17 is a lofty number. Do we want to bet on a career year? If they just gave up on the running back position, I would sort of have some faith that they're just going to continue to throw with reckless abandon. We know that that's not what the Ravens are going to do and probably not what they're built for. They would be built for a sick Derrick Henry addition.
But, okay, hear me out. Hear me out and don't side with Pat. The Cowboys produced a league-leading number of carries for Pollard both inside the 10 and inside the 5. He cashed in almost none of them.
They had so many unconverted.
So that offense is so productive and gets so many looks near the goal line. I mean, Derrick Henry could honestly average like 50 yards a game or less and still be like an RB1.
He could score 22 touchdowns.
Yes. Score a lot of touchdowns. That's what I'm saying.
I feel like a more fun outcome is like a Raheem Mostert level of 22 touchdowns where just some nobody scores a bunch of touchdowns. But also someone who drafts a lot of zero RB would love some nobodies to score a bunch of touchdowns.
Well, as zero RB bro, I think that Derrick Henry would look appealing because people say, washed, I don't want him. And I'm like, oh, Derrick Henry in the fifth? Okay.
I wonder if the Chargers are going to sign Derrick Henry. Just thought of that one too.
That's not bad.
I think they're more likely to draft a running back. I think right now, I mean, they're in just absolute cap hell with a bunch of old players they can move on from to get out of it. But then do they just want to go back to the well and add another older player in Derrick Henry, who I think will command a reasonable contract? Like, I think the difference between him and Austin Eckler in terms of the way the NFL will value them is going to be noticeable.
And Eckler, I mean, just appeared to have less left last year. It wasn't just the one viral clip. He might have been hurt all year, but his legs were not good.
That clip
is so haunting. If he could, how much money would he pay to have that clip erased from the internet?
Truly haunting. That was real bad. I mean, we could have maybe done faster.
Just stop.
I'm just saying.
You had to bring it too far. Like, we were fine, and then you said, oh, we could run fast. No, that's not true.
He was running 27 miles an hour in that. That just happens to be the slowest running back has run in the NFL this year.
I think it was seriously like 14.
I think it was something hilariously low.
Stop.
Like, that's like lineman.
That's a pulling guard. That's like a pulling guard.
Listen, we're talking about the one guy who doesn't hate fantasy football players. Yeah.
We better be careful. He might be working for Yahoo next year.
I appreciate it.
We didn't say anything about like that. We didn't say anything bad.
Earlier in the show, Austin, if you're listening, we said get you to Houston and let's get you some targets, baby. That's what
we want. Man, I was looking the other day at rush yards over expected, by the way, and Damian Pierce was like bottom three.
Oh man. Woo. Pierce's metrics are like an actual horror movie.
Guy might need to remake his body.
I think
like a two down linebacker.
Yeah, they should convert him. They should convert him to linebacker.
All right, whatever. We got to end the show. We also got to figure out something to talk about on Thursday. We will be back.
Justin Fields to the Steelers. I'll have some stuff for that.
All right, perfect. Yeah, maybe we should finally dig into the grisly details of Art to the Steelers. I think we already did that once, but Denny will be back on Thursday. Kyle will be back on Thursday. I will be back on Thursday. Thank you so much for listening to us all last week on Radio Row in Las Vegas. We had the time of our life. We'll have the time of our life this Thursday, though, as we move forward into the offseason. So for Kyle, for Denny, I'm Pat. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back later.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.